Vontroe King Williams and DJ Durkin have the most important task this spring for this Auburn football team in 2026.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off. And you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. A huge, huge task is on deck for Vontroe King Williams and DJ Durkin as they try to figure out who's going to be the guy or guys on the interior of this defensive line. We're going to talk about the returners that need to step up. We're going to talk about some of the newcomers that need to make some noise. And then we're going to take a quick peek at the NIT, our outlook there, what the bracket looks like, some intriguing potential matchups, and all that good stuff. But let's go ahead and dive right in. There's so many different aspects to look at this Auburn team as far as what's the most important, insert fill in the blank. Insert fill in the blank is the most important job of this spring and this summer to figure out for this 2026 Auburn football team. And I think there's a lot of different arguments, a lot of pros and cons on each. But I think the most, probably the most, if not one of the most important jobs that this team's going to have this spring, this staff's going to have this spring, is figuring out what's going to happen, figuring out how to replace the production from the interior of that defensive line. You're talking about a top 10 national defensive line against the rush, a top 10 defense against the rush, and you know where that starts? Right there in the middle. That starts right there on the defensive line, right there in the trenches, and very similar to pass rush. There's not a ton of proven production you can point to. Ton of potential, not a ton of proven production. And it's going to be all about development. It's going to be all about finding those perfect rotations. And these returners are going to play a huge role in this because, look, there's only, 30-ish guys, I think. Only 30-ish guys, I think, that were returned from last year's roster. And I think all of them were somewhat handpicked. They were somewhat singled out by this staff as like, this is the foundation to build off of. And these interior defensive line guys, these four guys on the interior, were handpicked. They played a little bit last year, not a ton, but they were looked at and said, these are the guys that we want to sort of build the foundation on. No pun intended, because obviously the foundation of a football team on both sides of the line is in the trenches. But let's just start right at the top, and that's Dallas Walker. Very big that he got granted his last year of eligibility. You know, he had that year where he just didn't play any football. I think it was pretty easy, open and shut, as far as looking at that compared to everybody else in the country that's getting waivers. He still had his COVID year and his four to play five. So great to have him back. Here's the thing about Dallas, though. Dallas is not going to be a guy that's going to be able to play 50 to 60 snaps a game. It's just not going to be, you can't ask that from him. You can't really ask that from anybody at that particular position. Last year, he played about 20 snaps a game. You know, on average, if you average it out, right around 20 snaps a game. He was effective at times, good against the run. I think that's his strength. Obviously, those positions aren't going to be big pass rush positions, are not going to be a ton of tackle for loss positions. You need them essentially to just sit down and take up space. If you can get some penetration, awesome, but you need to get two blockers. You need to have two guys double teaming you. And that frees up all these linebackers to make the plays that we need them to make. Every single one of his snaps essentially were taken right in the, you know, right on the nose or just off the nose. So that's where we need multiple bodies, and it's really big. The experience really more than anything, because he's played a ton of football. Get him in there, get him back. That's really big. Now, can he take that next step? This is his last ride. He's got a family. This is a very big business year for him as far as his future goes. So looking for him to take the next step was big, obviously, to get him back. Jordan Crawford. I expected, honestly, Jordan to play a lot more last year. He ended up playing in only, it looks like, 7 games. The most he played was against Mercer, and he had a pretty good game there. Played double-digit snaps against Missouri, and then it was just a handful of snaps here or there. I honestly expected him to play more last year. I know I just said that, but we didn't quite get to see what we thought we would see out of him. He's got great size, that, you know, 6 foot, 6'1", 330 pounds. He's prototype nose tackle. He's the perfect guy to step in right behind Dallas Walker. And he's a guy strong, can squat the whole building. And you got to have that. Now, the freshman to sophomore jump, can he make that? And there's nobody better to pull it out of him than Vontrell King-Williams. But, you know, if Dallas Walker's playing 25 to 30 snaps a game, guess what? You got to have some other guys step in, because you're probably going to average somewhere between 60 and 70 plays defended a game. So do the math. You got to have somebody step up. We really need to see that from Jordan Crawford when he played every single one of his snaps. Every single one of his snaps, except for two, were dead on the middle, dead on the nose, or just a shade off of the nose. So it did take two snaps out over tackle. I'd like to go back and look at those snaps. I bet it was like a third and short, couple of third and shorts or fourth and shorts where it was just stop the run and you slid him out and got some more beef on the front. So Jordan Crawford, definitely one you need to step up. Cool story about him and what he did with his NIL. Go follow him on Instagram. He opened up like a social hub in his hometown with his NIL money. It's good stuff, man. That's the good piece about NIL that we all, that we come to love. Malik Autry is interesting because he's not really interesting. It's just important because he was a little bit more flexible. He wasn't sort of pigeonholed into that one spot, like dead on, you know, dead up the middle, that true nose tackle. He played inside. He slid outside a couple of times. When I say outside, I'm not talking about like in a pass rush scenario, but he played 22 snaps over tackle, you know, more of the Malik Blockton role a couple of times. So, but he's also 6'5", 330. So he's got the flexibility to kind of play all of it. And like I said, you're going to defend between 60 and 70 plays a game. You know, even if Dallas plays 30, Jordan plays 30, that's still going to leave a handful of plays where, you know, you're going to need somebody to come in to the middle and fill those gaps. Malik could easily be that guy. Really singled him out, invested a lot into him. He played a good amount of snaps last year. He had 4 games where he played double-digit snaps. So expect him to take another big step forward. So Malik Autry, very, very important. Darian Smith, I listed him as the returners. He's not necessarily a true interior guy. He's honestly probably going to play more of like the Keldrick Falk role, I think. He's probably going to play more that true end. But he did take some snaps on the interior. He did have, 39 snaps this year, you know, listed as, you know, defensive tackle, which, again, more like Malik Blockton, not necessarily on the middle, like on the nose, but maybe, you know, closer to on the guard type position. I expect him to probably play a little bit more over tackle, a little bit more of the end, but he's a guy that came on strong last year and had some really, really good games, had a really good Baylor game, had a really, really good game against South. He was very active against South Alabama, very active against Georgia, very active against Texas A&M. But those four returners, man, that's guys that this staff singled out and said, that's who we want to like invest in to be the foundation of our interior defensive line. So you got to have those returners really step up. We're going to talk about some incoming new guys here in just a second. But before we do that, let's give a quick shout out to Precision Tune Auto Care in Opelika. Auto hospitality is where it's at. You're not just looked at as a number. You're looked at as a person, as a returning customer. We don't want you to just come in once and let's try to suck all the life out of you on your first visit. We want to make it a good experience. That way you come back again and again. And these guys definitely, definitely answer the bell as far as that goes. On the corner of Veterans Parkway in Opelika and Pepperell Parkway. So give them a shout. They also have a location doing the same auto hospitality program in Alabaster. So show them some love. It's Precision Tune Auto Care. And then Roback.com. Use coupon code BARN20 to take 20% off your order. Polos, pullovers, hoodies, all that good stuff. Auburn apparel. I got some of the new Auburn apparel drops on the way soon. So I'll make sure to share that when they come in. So show them some love. It's Roback.com. We'll be back right after this. Let's talk newcomers. Who do you guys think is the most important newcomer on the interior defensive line, chat? Who's the most important guy? You got a couple, three or four that I think are going to be vital, every single one of them. Like, you didn't bring in dudes, I don't think, that are going to be, you know, just placeholders. Like, you're going to need every single one of these to step up, and it's really easy to point directly at Cody Sigler because – Cody Sigler's got to be at least a wash for Malik Blockton. Malik Blockton was very, very good last year. He's been good ever since he's been here. He's not necessarily a All-American, not necessarily going to make, have 10 sacks a year. He's not going to have 10 tackles for loss, but he did his job, and he wasn't a liability. He was disruptive. And he had a lot of those ugly stats that don't show up on the stat sheet. So you need Cody Sigler to be a wash. You need him to be at least that good, okay? If he can be better, then that's just another bonus. He was one of your big defensive line gets that you expect to plug and play. Need him to come here right away and be an impact immediately. That's one of the guys I have singled out for practice tomorrow to make sure I have my eyes on, see how he fits, see how he looks. You know, it's a big jump coming from the Sun Belt to the SEC, but he had elite production at the Sun Belt level. So, you know, it's one thing if you're just middle of the road at a lower conference. If you're at the top of it, you know, that's what those are the kind of guys you want to go get. If I'm going to go get a guy from a lower conference, I want him to be competing at an elite level at that lower conference. So when you come over to the SEC, maybe it's not such a big transition. So you invested a bunch in him. Cody Sigler's got to be at least as good as Malik Blockton if you want to maintain this top 10 run defense, this stout defensive front. You got to have Cody Sigler be a dude. One of the more intriguing guys is Buddy Mathis. Walter Mathis Jr., the transfer from LSU. LSU was not happy to lose him. I think he's going to have a lot of flexibility across that defensive front. I think he's going to be able to do a lot of different things. He played primarily last year a more true defensive tackle, you know, not necessarily on the nose, you know, kind of like a three technique. That'll be good to see him and Cody Sigler battle it out. But you got to have him compete. Another good thing about him, he's super young. So you're going to get a lot of production out of him. If he can pop, you're going to get a lot of production out of him down the road. Kind of like inserting a sophomore, you know, from, you know, it's basically like Malik Autry's class. So you got a guy like that can be a part of that young core that you're trying to build. He's very intriguing. I'm excited to watch him. And then we talked about, you know, we talked about Dallas. I already see it coming, Reverend, and you're what you were waiting on him. St. Fair, all eyes on St. Fair. Look, I just mentioned it early. You cannot play 60 to 70 snaps a game as a true nose. You just physically can't do it. Those guys are too big. It's too physical. It's too demanding. You got to have multiple guys that can do it. And Auburn brought in St. Ferrier from App State, who played, you know, a good amount of snaps last year. And guess what? Look at the snap totals. That's about what he played, about 20 snaps a game last year. That's pretty much about all these guys can handle. So you got to have a lot of rotation there. 225 total snaps. So he played a lot more towards the end of the year. The last, let's see, one, two, three, four, five games, he was playing more like 25-plus snaps a game. So you don't necessarily need him to be an All-American. Don't necessarily need him to be – it would be great. You don't necessarily need him to be like all-world. You just need him to be able to play and be effective for those 20 snaps a game. 20-plus, 20 to 30 snaps a game. Can you get that out of him? Can you get that out of Jordan Crawford? And can you get that out of Dallas Walker? If you can do that, you got a really solid, stable right there in the middle. If those guys can stay healthy, if those guys can develop over the spring, you got you. I think you got some, at least on paper, you got some dudes that can play at this level. So the challenge that those guys are going to have, the challenge that Dirk and the challenge that Vontrell King-Williams are going to have is they have to take the clay. They got the clay. Now they got to mold it. They got to mold it, and they got to find them some SEC caliber interior beef. Bring on the beef. I'm with TK. If I got to bet on somebody to be able to knock this thing out, it's going to be Vontrell King-Williams. So we'll see what happens there. That's one of the key things that we need to be watching in spring, though, that I'll definitely have my eyes on tomorrow. We'll be at practice tomorrow. I'm probably going to stay for the interviews. Practice is at 8:50 Central Standard Time in the morning. Then you're going to have interviews at about 10:50. And then I'm going to go live tomorrow afternoon and kind of give a recap of the first spring practice, the first practice in the Golish era. So make sure you're tuned in for that. Now let's talk about NIT, and I'm not going to talk much about it, but one thing I want to mention is that I talked to a lot of people about this within the program and whatnot, but the key to if Auburn accepted a bid or didn't was up to the players, and primarily the four or five guys that you might want to bring back next year. The four or five guys, you know, you're Jovich, you're Kevin Overton, you're Elijah Freeman, you're Sway. Those guys are your core that if you can, I think you try your best to try to bring those guys back. There's going to be other teams that want them to, but those are the four that you're going to want to try to bring back and build around, because I think those guys play Stephen Pearl brand basketball. They play hard on the defensive end. Probably none of them are just going to be elite scorers. Kevin Overton can get hot at times. Elijah Freeman has the physical ability to be, you know, have all the tools to be a big scorer. But those guys, I think, play hard. They play hard on the defensive end. And those guys wanted to play in this tournament. So for all the fans that are like, oh, this is embarrassing, decline it. Those guys voted to play in it, so we need to get behind them and cheer them on. You're going to get three home games, which is pretty cool, and, you know, you're the top seed of the tournament. So maybe you can end this season on a good note. There's some interesting storylines out there. You got Yale on the other side of the bracket, I believe. You got a couple of really good, you know, 26 win teams in the field. So it's actually not a bad NIT field. You can play in the in-state school right off the bat. It is a late tip. It's a late tip on Tuesday. What I'm thinking is I may catch depending on how the game's going, may barncast the last few innings of the baseball game and then go straight into the basketball game. Just make it a super boog night. So make sure that you're subscribed and you have that alert bell triggered so that you're ready for that. I agree with the last Steal the Man. I agree, and Stephen Pearl should play them. If Hall has an attitude and is leaving anyway, leave him on the bench. Like, there may be some of those guys that just opt out. You know, and it's good to see, you know, there may be some points next year where Kevin Overton needs to run more point guard. You may want to factor that into this right now. You may want to factor that into the NIT. Simon Walker, you may want to play him a little bit more next year. So if he comes back, if he's part of that 4-5, may get him a little bit more run. There's things that you can do. People say there's no benefit. I cannot agree less. There's a ton of benefit. Sure, it'll look bad if you get knocked out early, but you get more practices, you get more coaching time for Steven, and you get to really find out if these 4-5 guys are the guys you want to, you know, build around. So they voted to be in, so we need to lock in and get behind them. Guys, I really appreciate you joining us live this morning. It's going to be a great week. Football practice is back. Baseball's killing it. Got Georgia Tech tomorrow night. Got Texas this weekend. Boy, oh, boy. And then you got the NIT. Let's roll. Guys, thanks for listening. We'll be back again tomorrow. We'll be back again soon. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay button.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.